ago, initially it was about 10 years ago, suddenly I stopped breathing. I would stop breathing. And then I would recover, and I went to the doctors, and I looked at this, looked at that, there was no answer. They couldn't find anything anyway. They said it was late onset asthma, because I don't think they could put any other label to it. But I lost my breath. I'd wake up, often in the night, maybe some other times, and I would lose my breath. And it was like, I couldn't breathe. I could not breathe. And it was pretty scary. Then I would recover. And it would take me then about 15, 20 minutes. I'd have to sit and sort of compose myself. And it showed a bit about our breath. And I feel, and I can explain it to you, if you see, if you've ever had anything, you like it, you'll know. If you've never experienced it, it would be hard. But to lose your breath is just awful. When if I'm watching something on television and they show somebody with asthma, they start going, I really can't watch, because it is so real to me. But I have been all right the last 10 years, except for about 2 months ago. I've been all right, and suddenly I woke up again in the night. It's probably more scary for Christine. We tried all sorts of things, but it's just the breath is such a thing that we take, and when you lose it, it's just awful.
Crazy, amazing full service. And as she prayed, she said, "Thank you, God, for every breath that we breathe." And we looked at Roger and I looked at each other and laughed. So I'm going to move on now to a message that I wanted to bring you today. Do you want the lights up at the front, or if you better come on? So this year I've been looking at trust with you. In January we looked at trust or not in the life of Abraham. We saw how Abraham sometimes trusted God, and at other times he tried to work things out for himself. And also we saw how his trust was quite a passive sort of trust. He sort of let himself sink into God's arms, relaxed into God's care. And even though he didn't always trust in God, somehow he made it into the Hebrews 11 Hall of Fame of Faith. So that really demonstrated to us that God doesn't judge us by our failures, but by our successes. And we also noted that whereas the word trust was used a lot in the Old Testament, in the New Testament it's not used much at all. It's faith seems to have taken its place. So that's relevant to what we're going to be looking at later on. So in February we looked at how having a healthy fear of God enables us to trust him better. And we got that, the disciples caught out in the storm, waking Jesus up, how Jesus spoke to the storm and said, "Be still." And when the storm immediately stopped, Mark tells us the disciples were terrified. "Who is this man?" they said, "even the wind and the waves obey him." They had a healthy fear of God, someone who could command the wind and the waves, is someone that we need to take seriously. And a healthy fear of God really is to be aware of his power, but also to know that he cares for us and that he rescues us. Knowing God and recognising his power and his love and his holiness enables our trust to grow. And really, we want to be at a point where our first response in a time of crisis is to call out to God and to trust him rather than to fear and to worry. Today I want to look at a more active sort of trust or faith, reaching out to God. And we're going to look at a few incidents from the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. If you want to follow it in your Bibles, we're starting at Matthew 4, verse 23. and I'll try and remember to tell you the other references as we go through. So Jesus travelled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. He healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed, or epileptic, or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. People followed Jesus. They heard what he was doing. So our first thing about reaching out in faith is to be where Jesus is at work. People followed Jesus around. People brought sick people to him. And if we want to reach out in faith, we need to be where Jesus is at work. So it might be at church, it might be at the prayer meeting, or it might be at a conference, or with friends who are filled with faith. But there's also a spiritual element to this, because we need to be spiritually in a place where we've got, where we're with what God is doing in our lives. We need to repent from our sin. We need to put things right with other people. Jesus said, don't come to the altar if you've got something against your brother. We need to put things right with other people and with God. We need to be in a good relationship with God. And if we need something from God, we need to be where Jesus is at work. And he wants to work in each one of our lives. He wants to be at work. Last Thursday, be where Jesus is at work. The second story is from Matthew 8. Jesus had taken the opportunity to speak to the crowds who've been seeking him out. And the next three chapters of Matthew, we've got what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And then we come to this little episode. It says, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed, and instantly the leprosy disappeared. We need to ask for what we need. If the leper hadn't asked, I think Jesus would just have carried on, he would have passed by and ignored him. He wouldn't have picked him out. The leper needed to reach out and beg. He wasn't presumptuous. He said, if you're willing. And Jesus is always willing, but we need to ask. Another interesting thing is that the leper shouldn't even have been there. Lepers were banned from being in the city. They had to live outside the villages and the cities. He shouldn't have been there. He was an outcast. But he heard that Jesus was at work healing, so he found Jesus. He came to be where Jesus was at work, and he asked what he needed. Later, I'm not going to talk about this, but in Matthew 17, when Jesus' disciples couldn't heal the demon-possessed boy, the boy's father asked Jesus for what he needed, and his son was healed. And in Matthew 20, two blind men cried out to Jesus, not thinking about who heard them. They said, Lord, we want to see. And immediately, Jesus healed them, and they could see. Jesus' answer to us may not always be immediate, but he will answer. The leper was specific about what he wanted. He wanted to be healed and made clean. Don't know whether any of you have read any books by Yonggi Cho. I remember one that I read where he was writing about being specific in prayer. And he was even praying for a specific type of bicycle, which God answered and gave him. We need to ask for what we need. What do you need from God today? What is it that if Jesus was standing here, you might come and ask him for? Will you reach out in faith and ask for what you need? Will you be specific? We need to be where God is at work, and we need to ask for what we need. Then further on in Matthew 8, After healing the leper, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." And then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home, because you believe, it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. I work with the army. I'm a chaplain to the military police. And I see the rank system at work. The sergeants telling the juniors what to do, where to go. I see the way that they come to attention when a senior officer comes in the room. When I have a service, I just say to the sergeant major, "I need this, this, and this, and this." And he tells people to do this, this, and this, and this, and it happens. The centurion knew that and understood it. And we need to understand God's power and authority. I love to lay hands on people when I pray for them. For some reason, it helps me to know how to pray. It's probably not the same for everyone. But in lockdown, we couldn't do that. I found myself praying on Zoom, and I really wasn't happy with that. But somehow, you know, God managed to answer those prayers. He doesn't have to be there. You don't have to be there. His power and authority overcomes all the obstacles. There's nothing too difficult. No problem is insurmountable. Just say the word, the centurion said. So don't doubt that God can do it. He can speak into any situation. If you need to know what to say or how to act, ask God to speak to you and to give you wisdom. It says in James, if any of you lack wisdom, just ask God, and he will give it. Ask God for what you need. Do you need someone else to hear from God? Ask God to speak to you. And don't be afraid to ask God to heal those who aren't with you. God is not restricted to times and places. He has the power and authority to act, and we need to ask. So, between healing the centurion servant and the next episode, Jesus has healed a number of people, cast out some demons, and spelt out the cost of following. And he was in the middle of telling the Pharisees why his disciples didn't fast, when the leader of the synagogue came and knelt before him. "My daughter has just died," he said, "but you can bring her back to life again, if you just come and lay your hand on her." So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. "Get out," he told them. "The girl isn't dead, she's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. And the report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. There were some people who laughed. They were very cynical. And we need not to be cynical. Jairus obviously had a high view of Jesus' power and authority. But not everyone in the story did. Where would you be in the story? Would you be one of those who are laughing? As if anyone could raise that girl. She's dead, I know she's dead. As if Jesus could do that. It's ridiculous. Would you be one of those? Or would you be one of those who are so desperate for help? You were believing Jesus could do it. Jesus got rid of the cynics. He got rid of the people who laughed. If we are like that in our hearts, we won't ever see any miracles. It's easy to be cynical, isn't it? Because we rarely see miracles today in this country. I know in other countries, in other parts of the world, people do see miracles regularly, but here, we had a prayer tent at a community event when I was in Aldershot, and a guy from Ghana came and wanted to help with it. And he said, "Where are the queues?" No one was queuing up. And he said, if this was in Ghana, there'd be queues of people wanting to be prayed for. It's almost natural for us here in England today to be cynical. But we won't see miracles if we're like that. Jesus will do it when we're not around. Don't be cynical. In the middle of Jesus' journey to Jairus' home, we have the story of a brave and desperate woman dealing with an issue of blood. Matthew 9, we read, "A woman who suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind Jesus. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, 'If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed.' Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well.' And the woman was healed at that moment." One of the other Gospels tells us there were so many people there that the disciples said, "Everyone's touching you. How can you think that anyone's touching you?" But Jesus knew that something had happened. She reached out to Jesus. Interestingly, just like the leper, she wasn't supposed to be there. If a woman was bleeding, they were an outcast. They weren't supposed to be in society. And she certainly wasn't supposed to touch anyone. So she shouldn't have been in that crowd. She shouldn't have touched Jesus' garment. But her need was so desperate that she reached out and touched him. And her faith was so strong. She did the unthinkable. It's a challenge for us. Do we think we don't belong? Are we not good enough for God to do something for us? Are we prepared to actually be in a place where we might make a fool of ourselves? We might be seen to be reaching out to God? Are you prepared to stand out from the crowd when you need something from the Lord? Are you prepared for people to look at you? Well, this woman was. She reached out to Jesus and received her healing. So the next incident I want to talk about is it happened immediately after Jesus had fed 5,000 men with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. So Jesus insisted his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent people home. After he sent them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. And night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, but a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am with you." Then Peter, always Peter, isn't he? He called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked on the water toward Jesus. When he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Peter really needed to keep his eyes and his focus on Jesus, didn't he? And we often will fall make a mess of things if we don't do that. But I don't want to focus on that. The question that Peter asked, Lord, is it you? I just feel this is really important, because we get ideas in our head. We think, God, is this you? God, is this you? Should I be doing this? Or is this just me? When you have a mad idea, we need to ask, Lord, is it you? When we feel the Holy Spirit is asking us to do something, we need to say, Lord, is it you? And when we get a positive response, then we need to step out in faith and keep our eyes on Jesus. But how do we know it's God? I mean, this is always a difficult question. And sometimes we just need to take God at his word. I've got a story to tell you here, which, as far as I know, is a true story. And the people in it are real people. So, one Sunday, Mr. Alvarez went to church, and he listened to a talk based on James 5. The preacher, who was Ed Silverso, emphasised the need to pray for the sick and to anoint them with oil so that they would be healed. How much of the message Mr. Alvarez understood is not known, because he wasn't yet a Christian. The next morning, however, he awoke to find his most valuable bull was dead. And for Mr. Alvarez, that was a major tragedy. For a cowboy to lose his prize bull is like an admiral having his flagship sink, or England losing the World Cup, that's probably worse than that. Anyway, as he stared at his dead bull, Mr. Alvarez remembered the talk he'd heard the night before. So he went into the kitchen, he got a can of oil, he went outside and anointed the immobile shape of the bull. Put the whole can over the animal, and he was separated. And the bull stood up and walked.
Wow.
When Mr. Alvarez told Ed Silverso about the bull, Ed was somewhat sceptical. He made the mistake of questioning Mr. Alvarez. And Mr. Alvarez took off his glasses and looked Ed straight in the eye. And with a booming voice, he said, "Young man, I have been a cowboy for years, over half a century. I know cows and bulls inside out. If I tell you it was dead, it was dead." Mm-hmm. Understood? And not surprisingly, Mr. Alvarez became a Christian. In his naivety and his lack of cynicism, Mr. Alvarez simply obeyed and trusted God. He stepped out in faith. He told God what he needed. You have to get caught up in asking God, is this right? Should I do this? Is this really you? But there are ways we can establish this. The way God wants us to be is just to know. To know his voice so well that we just know it's right. But if we're not at that point in our walk with God, we can first of all think, is this in line with Scripture? If we feel we ought to be talking to someone, a friend, about Jesus, is it in line with Scripture? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. If we feel we ought to be having a fight with someone, then it's not. So we can know that's the first test. Is it in line with Scripture? One thing that I've always found really helpful is to pray, God, if this is not from you, let me forget about it. And that works really well. That works really well. And after the time has passed when you might perhaps have done something about it, you suddenly think, oh, I was thinking about that. Oh, well, that obviously wasn't right. We can ask God for a sign or a fleece. Do people understand when I use the word fleece?
Yeah?
So ask God to show us by some way totally outside of the situation. May someone phone you in the next 5 minutes, or let it be raining. Something totally different. If you want me to do this, I need to be sure of God. But as I said before, what God wants from us is that we get to know his voice so that we can step out in faith easily. I went through a time in my life where I really wanted to step out in faith, but I wasn't at all sure. And so I was using a fleece of some sort most of the time. Whatever I felt, think of something to say, God, if it's you, please make this happen. And then one day as I was praying that, I just thought, actually, I really know what I should do. And God said to me, the time to use the police has gone. You need to move on from there now. So what God wants is that we know him well enough to step out in faith. We understand him, we trust him, and we know his voice. Jesus sends out his disciples in Matthew 10. He called them together. He gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. And he gave them these instructions. First of all, he told them not to go to the Gentiles. But then he said, go and announce, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. This is our mission. We need to announce that the kingdom of heaven is near, or the kingdom of God. In the Gospels, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are the same thing. One Gospel writer calls it the kingdom of God, and another calls it the kingdom of heaven. It means the same thing. We need to be going out, healing the sick, where God's saying to us to pray. Maybe even raising the dead, curing those with leprosy, casting out demons. Sometimes it's a more practical thing that God's asking us to do. Some people are called to be nurses or doctors and to help heal the sick in that way, or to work with those with leprosy. But God is calling us to be part of his mission. So my question to you today is, will you be a part of this mission?
Yes.
Will you take a step of faith today?
Yes.
So, if it's all right with you, I'd like to pray. We've got a song to respond to God in a moment. But if I'd like you to pray, I'd like to pray for you to help you to hear God's voice and to step out in the mission. And while the song is going on, again, if you really want to come forward for prayer, then do that. But let's all stand, and I want to pray. Father, I thank you for these people here, for your church, this part of your church, based here in this building. And I pray that you will speak to them, and that they will hear your voice, and that they will step out in faith. I pray that they will ask you for what they need. I pray that they will reach out for others. I pray that you will help us all not to be cynical, but to expect to see you at work. Anoint us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, I pray, and help us to be salt and light, to be your disciples in this world that we are part of. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to sing God of Miracles as a response, and if you particularly want me to play for you, just come to the front as we sing. Thank you, Tony.